Los Angeles. You're now tuned into Slauson Girl Speaks
with award-winning journalist and South Central native, Slauson Girl.
This is a safe space.
Yeah!
Celebrating authentic black expression.
Where Slauson Girl dives deep
into Los Angeles history,
politics, and news.
While discussing culture, race, and identity with carefully curated guests
to keep you open-minded in today's society.
No cap.
Follow Slauson Girl on all social media platforms and stream Slauson Girl Speaks on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
You don't want to miss this.
Welcome to Slauson Girl Speaks. I'm your host, Slauson Girl, bringing you world news with a South Central state of mind. Earlier this week, Mikeyana Johnson's family held a press conference outside of the 77th Police Department located in South Central Los Angeles. Along with community activist group, demanding that the LAPD reopened the investigation into Mikeyana Johnson's case, as well as just generally updating the public on the status of her case, as well as how the police departments, particularly again in inner city communities, continue to fail black women and girls due to their lax investigations. I also had the chance to interview Mikeyana Johnson's mother about the Los Angeles Police Department closing the case into her daughter's death. Here's what she had to say.
My name is Shalissa Collier. I am the mother of Mikeyana Johnson. Mikey had a bubbly personality. Mikey was always there to always there for people. She was like a second mom to her two younger brothers. So when she became a mother herself, those loving, caring instincts, you know, just intensified, and her daughters were her world. You know, you saw Mikey, you saw the girls, you know, and she was just a kind person, a sweet person. She didn't mess with nobody. She didn't have no enemies. She was just Mikey, just one of a kind.
You know, Mikeyana, she was missing in September of 2020, and they assigned a detective to the case. You guys went out looking for her. You made flyers, posted to social media, and her body was recovered in a car next to an elementary school. And basically a week ago, the detectives came and told you that they have actually closed the investigation to finding out exactly how she ended up, you know, in her car by the school. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yes, they informed us a week ago that that basically her case is going to be a cold case. Basically, they're closing it due to the fact that they don't have any, they're lacking evidence, and also her cause of death is undetermined due to the fact of the condition of her body.
And do you feel like that is acceptable?
No. I feel, especially regardless of what race you are, I feel that if any crime was to happen, I feel that whatever agency is covering that case, I feel like they should work the case. I understand that they get a lot of cases. I understand their caseload is horrific and they can't do it, but devote time on a case as if it was your loved one, your daughter, your niece, your granddaughter, your cousin, your sister, your whatever. Work that case like it was there, you know, as if it was your loved one, and handle it as if how you would want someone to handle your loved one's case.
So let's talk a little bit more about
you know, her disappearance. How long was she missing, and when did the family become aware that she was in fact missing?
Mikeyana went quote unquote missing September 9th. Supposedly she was going to a hamburger stand to go get the family something to eat. We, the family, were not notified until the following day that she was missing. We did missing persons. We did flyers. We did social media. We did everything that we could possibly do to just get her out there. LAPD didn't do their job. They've had evidence. They've had information to assist. I feel like as soon as she hit the system, I feel like they should have worked her case. I feel like even though we know that she was deceased and she was murdered the same day she went missing, I feel like at least we would have found her and would have been able to see her, you know, say farewell to her. The family wasn't even allowed to see her, so we couldn't even say a goodbye to her. We just had to send her off the way that a princess should be sent off. Area of 92nd and Manhattan Place, 92nd and Western, or on 96 between Manhattan Place and Gramercy, between 9 o'clock September 9th to 3 o'clock the 10th in the morning. We're asking for you to please reach out, give us any information. Your tips can be anonymous if you don't, you know, if you don't want your name or anything released. We just need closure.
And how do the people, what would be the best way to contact the family?
You can contact me through Instagram. My Instagram is at MSHAZELBROWN at Miss Hazel Brown. And you can send me a message and I will gladly return your message.
I also had the opportunity to interview Sikivu Hutchinson, who is an author, feminist, educator, and an advocate for young women and girls locally, as well as those within the LGBTQ community, as well as undocumented women. She is the author of several books, including her new recently released novel entitled The Life and Times of Rory Tharp, which focuses on the rarely celebrated stories of Black queer women in rock and roll. You can find this book on Amazon as well as directly going to Sikivu Hutchinson's website. I interviewed Ms. Hutchinson to get her insight as a native of Los Angeles into the ways in which Black women who are experiencing violence at the hands of their community or at the hands of their partner, their cases and cries for justice are usually overlooked and seemingly disregarded in comparison to the cries that are created around this same level of violence inflicted upon white women. South Central specifically has had a couple of serial killers that have specifically preyed on Black women, vulnerable Black women in the community. It'll be interesting to hear an elder and an educator's insight on these issues and why these cycles continue decades later.
I'm saying that there has over decades been a lack of emphasis on the lives of slain Black women in general, and then Black women in particular who are experiencing issues with being homeless, being sex trafficked and in general not having access to social services that would enable them to get out of poverty and get out of sex trafficking and prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, there was a case, and this happened when, God, I was probably in elementary or junior high school. I think more junior high into high school. But there was a police officer that was preying on black women prostitutes and street workers. And they were being characterized as, quote unquote, strawberries. That was a really demeaning term that was used to basically smear disposable, expendable black women and say mm-hmm. that, well, because that they were street workers or being sex trafficked or otherwise marginal, that they were disposable, that no one really cared about these victims. Thus, you would not see commensurate news coverage to say if a white woman, even if she was a quote unquote prostitute, would have received if she was being preyed on or murdered. So mm-hmm. the point is that it really dovetails with the marginalization of black women's lives in general. And matters are compounded when you have folks that are doing street work and not receiving the kind of protections that they should be receiving and that they would be receiving if they were in white communities. Again, it's similar to the phenomenon that happened with these particular killers, that they were operating in plain sight for years and years. And law enforcement, due to the advocacy of community organizers, was finally able to connect the dots to scores of missing women, slain women who had been killed, and no one knew who they were killed by. So we can just say that, absolutely, it's probably something similar that's happening now. I mean, African-American women have some of the highest rates of being abducted in the nation. And so what's happening with those, with folks who have been abducted? Most of them are probably dead and have probably been killed by predators, either predators that they know or strangers who are predators. So we still have this phenomenon. We're not safe. And I would say even those who are not street workers per se in occupation, that because of black women being so hypersexualized and demonized as being de facto prostitutes and Jezebels, that there's always that presumption that when a black woman is targeted by law enforcement or when a black woman is abused in her own home by family members, that somehow she's to blame. When a black woman is raped, sexually assaulted, molested, that somehow she provoked it because black women are inherently, quote unquote, unrapeable. You've heard that term, and mm-hmm. hypersexual. So I say that it's a vicious cycle. So that's a good question, because I traverse, or used to, pre-pandemic, Western quite frequently. And what I would notice early in the morning is that there was a lot of street activity with women street workers, particularly just north of Slauson, between Slauson and Adams. I mean, there was a heavy concentration there. And so I think that it has a lot to do with the fact that there are these low-cost motels that are concentrated in that area, and then maybe some other factors that I am certainly unaware of that attracted folks to working those corners. Okay. But in general, I mean, Western is a snapshot of a lot of other corridors, main corridors in South L.A., high traffic, very low retail, you know, in terms of quality stores. You have a lot of liquor stores, a lot of 99-cent stores, a lot of boarded up buildings, a lot of other marginal businesses. And it really encapsulates the issues that we have in South LA in terms of having culturally responsive and culturally relevant services, community-based organizations, businesses that are visible on these main corridors. So I cannot crystallize what the specifics are with Western, I mean, what distinguishes Western from so many other streets in South LA that have these issues. But I would say that because you have that concentration of motels, because maybe it's an easier transit corridor, those could be factors. That's when you really saw the massive white flight out of South LA, Inglewood, into the West Side and the Valley. I mean, folks will tell you that Inglewood, up until 1967 or so, was white. I mean, I can remember moving into Inglewood when I was a toddler, and there was still a pretty solid core of elderly white people on our street. Like I said, on 8th Avenue and 79th, there were never white people who lived here. Now it's right. Like there's tons of them. So it's been demonized. It's associated with black chaos and black pathology. Then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that any area that African-Americans are in are dubbed South Central. I mean, I even read an article. I used to live in New York. I read an article that characterized Ladera as South Central. Right. You know, because you got black people living there. So up is South Central. We started this early last year. I think we started in March of 2018. And the idea was to capture the voices of unhoused black women and girls because nothing was being done on that score in L.A., I mean, in terms of documentaries. Mm-hmm. We were doing searches and like, okay, is there anything out there? And we didn't see anything. And so many folks that were involved in WLP and were allies to WLP had struggled with homelessness. And so we really wanted to talk about the specific issues that impacted black women and girls. That it wasn't just you don't have a home and you don't have stability, it's also you're being preyed on sexually and domestically. You have been a victim of intimate partner violence. You have been a victim of the lack of resources at your school campuses. You've been pushed out due to criminalization and policing. And so we wanted to bring all those issues to the fore with that mini doc. And Zori is 19. She's the filmmaker. She is a longtime photographer and has done smaller films, personal films, and so I just thought they would be a good fit. Once that kind of black girl, she's not important, she's expendable. Right. So I think all of these things really speak to the specificity of black girls' experiences being unhoused that don't impact other populations in the same way. I mean, certainly white girls who are unhoused and who may be sex trafficked don't have the same type of experiences, because when black girls are sex trafficked, like I said, they are perceived and then treated like criminals. They're more likely to be locked up for being victims of rape than are white girls.
If you claim to be an advocate for black people, for black women, for black lives, we ask you to stand in solidarity with black women who are experiencing violence and murder, whose stories and cases are not getting the coverage they deserve and not getting the justice that we deserve. According to the family of Mikeyana Johnson, they say that we are prepared to mobilize those who will stand with black women on this issue. Black women are killed at more than twice the rate of white women are killed, despite the fact that black women are experiencing such high rates of violence. Law enforcement's treatment of missing and assaulted and murdered black women is unacceptable. Mikeyana family demands that the Los Angeles Police Department reopen the case for Mikeyana Johnson, that the City of Los Angeles or the police department help with offering a reward for information leading to an arrest. They demand that every resource is exhausted. They demand that every resource is exhausted until justice for Mikeyana is obtained from the overly funded Los Angeles Police Department. And we ask that they take the issue of Black women and girls seriously as LAPD leads in cold cases and sets the blueprint for policing in America. Stand with the family of Mikeyana Johnson. Follow and keep up to date with the actions surrounding the demands for justice in her case. Her family is planning a vigil next month in April. And you can find the contact information for the Mikeyana Johnson Foundation on Instagram at Mikeyana Johnson Foundation.
Like this episode?
Leave a review and stay up to date on new episodes by subscribing to Slauson Girl Speaks and follow Slauson Girl on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook.